honor you. We adore you. We praise you. We glorify you. You're worthy to be praised tonight. We glorify you. We lift up your holy name. We thank you for your presence tonight. God, we have an expectation of just meeting with you only because you said we could, Lord. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the gifts of your Spirit being available to us, Lord. We're just honored to be with you and have you in us, God. We just praise you and give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on. He's good, isn't he? Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We've been speaking on and going through the book of Philippians, and we're in chapter 3. What verse were we on, Marty? Yeah, I didn't think you knew. you don't remember. Okay, I'll start at the beginning. No. Philippians chapter, I'm just giving her a hard time because I can. But anyway, we're going to start in verse 14. Philippians 3, 14. And remember, again, as you're going there and you're finding that this is the church that Paul liked the people. Over and over he goes, man, you're my joy. I mean, and the joy is over and over and over again recognized and say rejoice. And I can't wait to get to chapter 4, but rejoice. But he said, you're my joy. And he liked these people. I don't think every church was the same. I don't like the church at Corinth. He had to knock them upside the head every once in a while, you know, because they were kind of out of control. And there were other places that he had more struggles with. But in this church, he liked the people because the people communicated with him and they were more like-minded and they got it. You know, they got what he was preaching and they appreciated his sacrifices and everything. But this whole book was written kind of from that perspective. But listen to what he says in verse 14. And this is really interesting. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And the word press means that he was leaning into it. And if you've ever watched like a sprinter rate, like a 100-yard or 100-meter dash, and they're running for that line, they're running for that line. And the last second, they stuff their chest out and lean in to get to the line first. So this is the picture that Paul's painting here. I'm pressing in. I'm not standing back. I'm not waiting for something to happen. I'm not hoping that something happened. I'm not there. But here's where I am. I'm pressing in to this prize that he's talking about. So we need to do some pressing in sometimes. How many ever feel like giving up? Right? How many ever feel like, you know, what am I doing? Or what things don't seem to be working out the way that I want to, and life's attacking you a little bit. That's the time, and I found myself in there several times, where you just got to press in anyway. You just got to push anyway. Listen, and Paul talked about being shipwrecked and all of the things he did, but at the end of the day, he said, I forget the things that are behind me. He just said that, but I'm pressing in, pressing on to what God has called me to do. Come on. I think we need to press in a little bit more. But watch this. He said, press for what? Pressing in toward what? The goal for the prize. The goal of the prize. Now watch this. This is so cool. What was the prize? What's the prize? And in the context of what he's saying here, the prize is absolutely fulfilling the call of God on his life. The prize is getting up to heaven and hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were obedient to me when I spoke to you. You did what I asked you to do. But watch this, because this is really amazing, I think. It says, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And first of all, this speaks a lot of different things to me. it speaks to you've got to hear the call before you can fulfill the call. And part of that was hearing the gospel. Remember when he heard the gospel? He was going on his way to knock people off and put them in prison and everything. And he got thrown to the floor and Jesus appeared to him and said, "Why on earth are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus." Right? So that was the call for him to obey what God had planned for his life. But the first call was to come in and become a Christian and become saved and to follow Jesus. So the first part of that upward call is the same one that we had when we surrendered our lives to him. It's like, "Lord, I want to give my life to you and I want to live my life like you are in charge." So the prize, part of the prize is, Lord, at the end of the day, having the satisfaction of knowing that I followed you, right? So there's the prize of we're going to get to heaven, and that's awesome, but there's also the satisfaction or prize of knowing, God, I've done what you've asked me to do. And sometimes that looks a little different than other times. Sometimes that's nothing more than us getting to the place where we're just, you know, doing our normal daily things, right? But Lord, I'm doing it with you in mind. I'm bringing you into everything. We're going to see again in the next chapter where he says, in everything by prayer. And prayer is talking with God. So in everything, part of the upward call is bringing God into your everything, your everyday life. What decisions did you have today? What phone calls did you have to make? What things were on your plate today that you had to do? Did you bring him in to everything? See, the more, and is that possible? Oh, it is possible. It is possible because he's with you. So what am I trying to do? I'm trying to encourage you to press into that call of God, but also pressing into your relationship with him, because that's where you hear and you can obey. And again, sometimes we look at that and we go, well, this means, the call on my life to go to Africa and be a missionary and you know, some big, huge thing. But I think it's much simpler than that. I think it's, God, what do you want me to do right now? And even when it's not comfortable, you just say, okay. You know, like forgiving that person that hurt you, right? Or not holding on to your bitterness, not becoming jealous, not becoming envious, not doing those things, but you say, Lord, I'm pressing into the call that you have on my heart. You're calling me to live holy because you're holy. You're calling me to live after your word. You're calling me, and I'm pressing into that right now. Right now. Even if the people that I'm around are making it really, really hard. Right? Or the circumstances are making it really, really hard. Or things aren't going the way that I really think they should. I'm going to press into what you said and what you're asking me to do in my relationship with you on an authentic basis. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm pressing. What did you say, Lord? I'm pressing in right. What did you say? How do you want me to act? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? I'm pressing in. I want to hear. Come on. You've all been in a situation where somebody is saying something and you may not even be part of the conversation, but it's pretty juicy. And so you, what did they say? Were they talking about me? Right? So part of that pressing is I want to press into here. Right? Because I can't fulfill the call if I don't hear the call. But if I hear the call, then I can do the call. And I'm only going to get the prize if I do it. So I want to do it. Because I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Verse 15, it says this. It says, "Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have the same mind anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this even to you. This is very interesting. It says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, and the King James says that are perfect, but what this is talking about, those who've received or achieved, rather, a level that's higher than the one they had before. So let us who've walked in this thing for a while, walked it out for a while, lived in it, let us all walk in the same way. But let us, therefore, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And what in mind? A pressing in. Of continuing the relationship with Him. Isn't it awesome? And this is really cool. That you can read the Word of God and quote the same verses over and over and over again. And one day you're reading it, you're quoting it. You know, I know that. But you quote it one more time and you go, wow, I've never seen that. What are you doing by putting yourself in a place of discipline in the Word of God? You're putting yourself in a place of pressing in. And then you're of the same mind. You've grown up into a maturity. Watch this. You know, when you're more mature, you don't always do things because they feel good. You don't always do it right. Come on. If you're mature, you don't always eat the things that you would really like to eat because you need to be disciplined to eat the things that you need to eat. And put some of the things that you don't like to, you know, put them aside so that you can, you know. So even in the Christian walk, those that are mature, we don't always do things because we get something. We do something because it's needful for the body. Hello? It's healthy for the body. We do things because it's the right thing, not necessarily because it's the thing that will make me happy. Right? Because happiness is not even a word that we should even think about necessarily. Joy is, but happiness is a fleeting thing. Joy comes from our relationship with God and living out our life the way that He designed us to live. Happiness sometimes could be because we got our way when we shouldn't have. But if you're mature, come on, if you're mature, if you're grown up in some things, then you're going to put some things aside and live for God no matter what. So if you don't like the way that I'm living, or you're gossiping about me or saying something about me, if I'm mature, I'm not going to necessarily react to what you're saying. I'm going to react to what he said. Because I'm not pressing in necessarily for your favor, although I'd like it, but I'm pressing in for his favor. Are you with me? If we're all of that same mind, then things will work out. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this even to you. In other words, if we're in a disagreement on something where the Christianity is concerned, where the Word is concerned, or maybe the way we're doing something, and we're in disagreement, but we're pressing into God, then God will give us a place of unity, even though we may not totally agree. Because love is the result of us pressing into God rather than wanting our own way. Bless God, I believe you should do this, or I believe you should do that, or I believe the Bible says this, or I believe the Bible says that. I get it, and I believe a different way, but I could be wrong, but I'm pressing in, and if you'll press in, then God will reveal to us where we're supposed to walk. So it's kind of, I'm pressing into that. If I'm going to be mature about it, if I'm going to grow up, if I'm going to be at a level where God can use me at a different place, then I've got to be flexible enough to press into that. Hallelujah. And it's good because it puts me in a place where, how many like to be wrong? You know, how many just love to be wrong? Well, none of us. But yet sometimes, because we're so stubborn, we don't listen to the truth so we can see that we're wrong. But you know what's really liberating is to find out, you know, this is what I was thinking, but that wasn't right. but this is right. And now I can press into that and live out of the truth. Does that make sense? But we have to be open. We have to be at a level of maturity and press into that. Amen. Come on. This is so good. It's so good. You know what? I would rather keep you as a brother or sister than win an argument with you. And I've lost people in my life because we couldn't come to this place. And it hurts me. And I don't want that, right? But look at this. Therefore, as many that are mature have the same mind in you of anything than otherwise that God will reveal even to you. Nevertheless, to the degree, I like this. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. In other words, if we've gotten to a certain point in our belief system and what God has told us to do, let's keep walking it. Let's not stop. Let's not regress. Let's not go back. But let us continue to walk this thing out together. Right? And watch this. If God has called us to love one another, even when we're in close proximity, and we rub each other the wrong way because maybe our personalities aren't exactly akin, right? Let us continue to walk in love no matter what. Let us find out what love is and begin to walk in it. Like love believes the best of every person. Love is kind. It's patient. It's, you know, all of the things that love is. Let us continue to walk in that because we know that. We've been taught that. You know, we have faith. We understand what faith is. Let us continue to walk in faith. We know what grace is. Let us continue to walk in that grace. Let us not slip back. Let us not doubt. Let us not go back to a place where we were before. But all of us together, come on, let's walk forward. But let's keep walking it. Amen. How many have ever heard, you know, you got to walk the walk and not just talk the talk? Right? And how many have got that down 100%? If you do, then you can come on up here and preach because I'll listen. You know, even Paul said there's some things I want to do, I don't do. Some things I don't want to do, I do. And then, but he goes on to say, who's able to deliver me from this flesh? And he said, but I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That he is able to do that. Come on. He is the one who's delivered us and saved us. But here's the point. You got to hold on, press in, but you've got to continue to walk the way that you know you're supposed to walk and not let it slip back. We think of backsliding as a person that's on the bar, you know, at the bar and on drugs and, you know, go, you know, just living a sinful life. But I think slipping back is when we forget to love one another, when we forget to pray like we should. We used to pray, we used to worship, we used to, you know, just get really involved in worship, right? I mean, we go into worship and just, oh man, glory to God, hallelujah, and get emotionally charged in worship. I'm preaching to the choir tonight because you're here, but think about that. If worship has gotten you to the place where you're, can we get this over with so we can get to the word or whatever? It's like, no. Let's get back to walking like we once walked, where we really felt like when we began to worship the Lord that we were in his presence and that we were magnifying him, you know. I got to tell you, when I was singing, Jesus, 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 I was seeing myself with him. Because I remember when I first got saved, we'd go and we'd start singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then we were in his presence. There was no question about it. But part of that isn't the song selection, it's the heart attitude. So if that's where we were, let's keep walking there. Do you hear what I'm saying? Come on, let's keep it up. Whatever God has put on our heart, whatever disciplines that He's put in our lives, keep it up. Come on, keep it up. Keep it up. Don't stop. Don't stop. You're wanted. Hallelujah. It's okay. Glory to God. Let's just keep walking it out. Let's keep, and if we need to get back to someplace, glory to God, let's get there. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching to me, and I'm preaching to be happy. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, we've already reached, let us walk by the same rule, the same discipline, the same, action. Let us keep walking in that way. Hallelujah. And let us be of the same mind. Are we in this together or not? Come on, if we're in this together, let's walk together. And let's keep the prize in mind rather than, like we've got this Easter egg fellowship thing coming, the Easter extravaganza, whatever it's called, egg extravaganza. Okay, but the purpose of that is twofold. It's to bless kids, right? We want to bring them up there and really bless them, but we want them to hear the gospel. So let's walk in the same mind with our prayers connected with God. Just put the anointing on this so much that kids will come to you, right? And that adults will come to you, right? We're doing it for the purpose. And let's walk in the same heart, the same mind. So rather than getting upset because things didn't go exactly the way that you thought they should go, remember the end goal rather than the inconveniences. Come on. Whew, glory to God. Verse 17 says, brethren, join in following my example. And note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. What a statement. What a statement he's saying. He's saying, look at, I've been down this road. And he just got through the whole chapter saying, listen, everything, my degrees, every title that I had, I put those aside. And my one thing that I want is that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. That's what I want to know. That's who I am. That's what I'm going after. Are you with me? Moms, hear something crashing back there, so they're going. But watch this. That's what I'm pressing in toward. That's what I'm after. That's what I'm going for. And you've watched me do that. I was with you. You've seen my example. Do like I'm doing. I think that's just a marvelous thing. But he wasn't just including only himself. There were others involved that he said you can watch them too. All of us that are mature walking in the same rain, but follow our example. And what we have to do, and I think this is important, is that we have to live a life that somebody can follow. Let me say that one more time. Our goal should be that we're living a life that somebody else can follow. What does that look like? Well, that looks like, you're performing miracles everywhere, and you're just having all of these victories in Jesus. That's cool. That's all part of it. But I think it's even more of an example when people see you go through stuff, stuff, life, things aren't going right, but you're holding on to Jesus. You're not letting go of your faith. You're not blaming God for maybe some disappointments, but you're saying, no, I trust God. I believe God. God's going to see me through. I'm staying with God no matter what. See, we can all live like that, and we should be an example for that. I've shared this testimony before, but it bears repeating here, I think. And again, even Paul's saying this, he's saying, you can follow me. But he's really not bragging on him. He's bragging on the grace of God that's allowed him to be who he is. Years ago, Renita and I were in a situation, terrible situation. There were some threats being made toward us, and it could have been awful, right? Well, here I'm a man of faith, right? And I've been to a faith college, and I told my whole family about how I believe God, and I'm believing God, and God can do this, and God can do that, and victorious. Well, we're in it, and it's a fight. And I'm thinking, God, this isn't looking really good right now. This is not helping my testimony to my family at all. I'm supposed to be this man of faith, and how can I be going through stuff when I'm supposed to be the one who hears and you know, God just sees us through. And we're just, I'm just thinking, oh God, that didn't look good. The bottom line is, God got us through that. And then it was several years later, one of my sister-in-laws was working with Renita. And the subject of that time came up. And my sister-in-law's response to her was, we were all watching and we were all amazed of how your faith brought you through that. How your faith brought you through that. And we, looking at it, going, our example wasn't very good. But yet, us going through it and maintaining our testimony is the very thing that I can look to, and people were watching and they can follow the example. So oftentimes when we look at that, follow me as I follow Christ, you know, those type of statements, we go, yeah, man, he's victory. He had this happen. He had that happen. He had that happen. I think it's even more in the fact that, yeah, he'd been shipwrecked. He'd been beaten, he'd been whipped, but he got back up and he continued to go, right? So what he's saying is, no matter what life throws at you, our prize is not what's here, our prize is what's up there. So no matter what happens, don't give up on your faith. Keep the same mind, keep the same heart. Don't slide back, don't go back to your old ways. Don't let anger get a hold of you. Don't let bitterness get a hold of you. Don't get back into some of those sins that you used to be involved with. Keep pressing on. And just like I've had to fight, just like I've had to push through, just like I've had to get back up again, you follow that example. And just as you've seen others who've had the same situation and they kept their eyes on Jesus and kept pushing on. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to press on. Amen. We're going to press on. Glory to God. Verse 17 again. Brethren, join in the following of my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. In other words, don't look at people, I got to say this in the right way, not to get myself in trouble. Don't look at the people who are turning and running and are offended, but look at the people who are strong, steady, and going forward. Don't listen to the people who tear people down. Listen to the people who are lifting people up. Don't listen to the people who are pulling people away from Jesus or away from church, but listen to those who are drawing people toward it. Come on. Right? And don't be one of the others. Right? Don't be one of those. Don't listen to it, but don't act like it, and act like you're supposed to act and follow those who are doing it. Amen? Glory to God. Verse 18, it says, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. He said, there's been some among you, and there's some that I know that you know. And he said, it tears my heart apart, but I have to tell you that they're enemies of the cross. And in the context of that, what they were saying is they were... Is they were leading people away from the grace of God, and oftentimes it was to serve the law or serve some other element and wasn't fulfilling the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts and in different places, Paul talks about about how even Peter came, and Peter would be really cool. Let's eat with the Gentiles. We're under grace, man. We can eat, you know, anything we want, and it's all great. But as soon as some of his friends from the Jewish folks come, he said, oh, no, we can't do that. Come on, we got to clean up. You know, and he was kind of hypocritical in his actions, and Paul called him on it. In fact, it was such a contention, they went back to Jerusalem and had a big powwow about this deal, about do people of Gentiles have to become circumcised and follow strict adherence to the Mosaic law? And the bottom line was, is no, they don't. No, they didn't. So again, in the context of what we're talking about now, don't let anybody pull you away from the truth that is in the grace of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let it happen. You know, if somebody tells you you got to wear this certain thing, or you got to be baptized a certain way, or, you know, you have to only eat certain things, or you have to go to church on a certain day, or whatever, that's not what got you saved. What got you saved was believing in your heart and saying with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. And it's by grace that you're saved, not of yourselves, not of your works, but it's because of him and your faith in him, right? And so if anybody's adding to that, anybody's going aside, they're, watch this, it says here, they're enemies of the cross. What does that mean, enemies of the cross? What happened on the cross? What happened at the cross is that Jesus took our place. Jesus became sin for us. Every sin that we've ever committed, everything that put us in a position to be outside of God, he took on for himself. And if you're going to add to that or say, okay, yeah, Jesus did that, but now you've got to do this, this, and this, then you become an enemy to the work that he accomplished on the cross. And the grace of God says this, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin, that I might be called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And even in Romans chapter 10, where it says that you must say, believe in your heart, say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that God has raised him from the dead. That part, raised him from the dead, states that, yes, he took my sin on the cross, but his resurrection signifies and solidifies for all eternity that I'm alive in him right now. And he justified my sins, or he paid the price for my sins. And the enemies of that are somebody who says, yes, you gave your heart to Jesus, but now you've got to do something to maintain it or keep it. And you better be careful, because, boy, he could come any moment and you might lose your salvation. I think somebody could give away their salvation, but and that's a whole different story. But I think it's kind of hard to lose it. How can you lose it if he gave it? Come on. The Bible says that he'll keep us. I said the Bible says that he will keep us till that day. I think we need to pursue him. I think that we need to be in him. But my point is just this. Don't let anybody put you in bondage to rules and regulations that are not based on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's completed it, come on. Hallelujah. Verse 19. This is, woof. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, is in their shame, who have set their mind on earthly things. Come on, we don't want to be part of that group. And sometimes it's difficult because we want to get back into the mentality that I'm better than you. And the moment, watch this, the moment that you get into the mentality that our church is better than your church, or we're better than you, or we're this, or we're that, the moment that you get into that, you're treading on enemy of the cross. Why? Why? Because how can you get better than the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? How can you get better than somebody that's been blood bought? Right? You can't. So if Jesus is your Lord, you may think different than I. You may baptize people different than I. You may go to church on a different day than I. But you are not, I'm not better than you because I have a different persuasion. Does that make sense? Because the cross is 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 the cross. And I'm going to preach the cross. I'm going to preach the burial. I'm going to preach the resurrection. And as long as you're preaching that, we're good. As long as it's the same Jesus, not a different one. The same Jesus that was born of a virgin. The same Jesus who was God the Son. The same Jesus who came from heaven and came in the form of a baby and went to the cross for me. That same Jesus. The same Jesus who suffered for me. The same Jesus who walked on the water. That same Jesus who healed and delivered and saved. That same Jesus. As long as it's that same Jesus, we're good. We're good. And when we get to heaven, God's going to straighten us all out. Look at verse 20. Watch this now. This is so incredible. For our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. I've had the privilege, and several in the room have had the privilege of being in different countries. Like when Renita and I and Cassie and Missy went to Uganda. We went there, well, we had to have our passports. And then we had to have shot records and all kinds of different papers. But even though I was in Uganda, my passport said that that's not my nation of origin. That's not where I belong. That's not my home. My citizenship was still of the United States of America. So I was in Uganda, but I was still an American. Well, the moment that you and I gave our hearts to Jesus and the blood of Jesus was poured out over us and made us white as snow, that second that we came out of the kingdom of darkness and was translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, our citizenship changed. The Bible says that while we're here, we're just sojourners, or we're just walking through. It's like we're walking from one country to another. I might be in Canada, but I'm walking back to the United States because that's where I belong. That's where my citizenship is. I am a child of God. I belong in heaven. And I'm pressing toward that mark. There's coming a day, isn't there? Where we're going to put these bodies off. And Paul said it, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. We've just had a big Jim pass away, and he's not gone, you understand? He's just in a different location. He's not in my past, he's in my future. Why? Because we're citizens of the same place. Right? Just think about that. And we're going to, well, let's read the rest of the verse. This is so good. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's coming a day, and I don't believe it's far off, where He's going to come in the clouds. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, with a shout, and the trump of the archangel. Come on, He's going to split the eastern sky. And what He's going to do is He's going to call us who are alive to be caught up in the air with those that have died before us. And in that same second, we're going to be taken into His presence forever and ever and ever and ever. So are you listening? Are you waiting? Are you still in the anticipation of His coming? Because He is coming. He's coming. I don't care if it's been 2,000 years. I don't care if it's another 2,000 years. Our heart should be, I live here, but I don't belong here. And there's one day where I'm going to be called home. whether it's in the rapture, whether it's in that I put off this earth suit, I'm going home because that's where I belong. Come on, my citizenship is in heaven. And I eagerly wait with anticipation. Come on. I can remember as a kid, I grew up in a large family, and Christmas time was just amazing. Because you'd go to bed and there was not one present under the tree. None. But when you got up in the morning, at 3 or 4 in the morning, or whenever you got up, there would be piles of presents, because we had a large family, all around that tree. But the anticipation, there's something under that tree for me. Me and my brother, one year, we decided we're going to stay up all night. So we planned it out. We went to the store, mom and pop store not too far from the house, and there you could get penny candy. And if you had a nickel, you could get a good size candy bar. So for a couple of months, we stashed all of that. And we were going to have a staying up party. Boy, we're going to stay up. I don't know how long we last. We didn't last that long. But we were so eagerly waiting for that day when we could run up the stairs. As I'm telling you this, I can still see it. I can still smell the evergreen tree, right? But there was an eager anticipation about something that was coming. Well, I'm telling you, that pales in comparison with the one who's coming. He's coming soon. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Look at this, verse 21. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. I'm more mature than I used to be. And some of those things when I was in my teens and 20s that I did that I didn't think hurt me are now showing up. Right? And this old earth suit, right, isn't as pliable, isn't as functional as it once was. But there's coming a day. Did you know that when we die now, our spirits go to be with him forever? The real us, our spirits. But when he comes back, he's going to transform our earthly mortal bodies into a body that's immortal. And you're going to look good. Right? You're going to look good. You're going to feel good. You're going to be able to, come on. Listen, oh, this is so good. If I could show you a picture of how you look in your spirit, you would be amazed and you'd quit comparing yourself with anybody else. And you'd quit letting other people shame you into not being as good. Because God has made you awesome on the inside. You know, that's the real you. Well, when we get our new bodies, it's going to be reflective of that. Right? Come on. No comparisons. No comparisons. Everybody look at us and go, "Woo! Look at that." Right? Look at that. Come on. Look at that. And they're going to value us because they're going to see the value. Watch this. They're going to see the value that the one who created you and formed you put into you from the beginning of time. Glory to God. And he's able to do it. Come on. He'll transform our lowly bodies and it'll be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Come on, we're going to look like him. We're going to walk like him. We're going to talk like him. We're going to be able to move like, oh, glory to God. I mean, I don't know it all, but I got a pretty good imagination. You know that Jesus has his body with him right now, but it's his heavenly body. But he could walk through that wall. Right? Watch this. He could be here and there at the same time. I've had people and listened to people. I like to hear people who went to heaven and came back. And again, I take everything with a little bit of grain of salt, but it just inspires me. It's just like, oh, I can't wait. And almost all of them that I've ever heard said the same thing. He said, I was told that I want to come back, but I know that this isn't my home. I'm longing for the day that I'll be back there. Because watch this. Think about this. I'll tell you a couple of stories. When I first got saved, I hadn't been saved very long, but I had a dream. And I know it was a God dream because I didn't even think I dreamed. I don't remember dreams. And you remember when Paul said, he said, I knew, man, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't remember. I can't really tell. But his experience was so real to him. But this experience for me was I was up here looking down, and I was looking in a hospital bed, and I happened to be in that bed, right? But I'm looking there, looking down. There's people working all around me. And I don't remember a lot of, but here's what I remember. And I've heard others say the same thing. I remember the sense of peace that I had. An overwhelming peace. And I heard somebody else say it this way, and I thought, yeah, that's it. That's it. He said he died, only been, you know, like 30, 40 seconds, but he said, what I remember the most is the absolute absence of shame. Absolute, complete absence of shame. Did you know he took your shame? He took your shame. When he forgave you of your sins, you're not supposed to hold on to the shame. But you see, there won't be anything there to remind you of the shame here. Shame keeps us away from fulfilling our potential. Shame keeps us, people tell us, well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Don't ever listen to that. I may not be happy about what I did and I need to act better, but the fact is, I will never be ashamed of who he's not ashamed of. And when you're with him, there is no shame. One more story. I'm making me happy. I don't know how I'm doing for you. Watch this. This fellow, he went to heaven. And in his experiences, and again, you take all this a little bit with a grain of salt, but he said he visits heaven pretty regularly. God has him. I think, I wish I could do that. But anyway, he visits heaven regularly. And he was visiting with the Father once, and he said, do you want to see how I see you? And his immediate response is much like some of ours would be, oh, no. Oh, no. You know my heart. You know everything I've done wrong. You know all of my limitations. You know, I don't want to see me like you see me. But he opened his eyes and he saw himself. And it's kind of like, just think about this. There's an angel who's walking among us and we don't really know that it's an angel. And he's got a big coat on and he's got everything on. But all of a sudden he's sitting there and you're looking at him and then poof, the coat goes away. And the glory of God just begins to shine around him. And he's just this beautiful angelic being that's just, you're in awe of. And like in Isaiah where he was around the throne and all he could do was fall on his face. I'm so unworthy. I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. But God said, listen, I'm going to take that coal and put it on your lips. You'll be fine. Just stick with me, right? But here's the deal is that that's how this man looked. God showed him how he looked arrayed in his heavenly army and his heavenly body. I believe that's true. And he's done the work for all of us. Right? So we don't have to be ashamed. We need to just walk with him. We need to press in. God, you're coming. I'm pressing in. I'm pressing in. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did you get something tonight? Let's pray. Father, we just are so grateful for your word. And Lord, we want to press in. We don't want to slip back. We want to be able to be used by you as an example for somebody else to follow. So forgive our doubt, forgive our unbelief, forgive our whining, our complaining. And God, help us to press into you tonight. If anybody's watching online and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just do it. Just get before him and say, here I am, God, just the way I am. If you can do anything with me, Lord, I just submit myself to you. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If you do that, he'll change you. He changed me on the inside so many years ago. Still working on me. I'm not arrived, but I'm pressing on. In Jesus' name, you can too. Father, I thank you for everybody that's watching. I thank you that everybody's in the room. I ask you, God, just to speak into their hearts the things which you'd have them hear. And Lord, let it resonate in them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you for watching. In Jesus' name, God bless.